verses 1 through 8, and I'll be reading from the New International Version of the Bible. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my accuser. For a while he refused. But later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our next hymn is What a Friend We Have in Jesus, in our hymnal number 526.
When Pastor Lynn asked me to be a part of today's worship service, she told me that the scripture would be from Luke chapter 18 about the persistent widow. And as I thought about being persistent, I immediately thought about our two children. Our son is the older of our two children, And when he was growing up and Carol and I were to give him a chore or ask him to do something, he said, okay, and he did it. His younger sister, on the other hand, who was also a very good and obedient child, had a much different approach. When she was given a task or told to do something, she used one of her favorite words, why? She wasn't being disobedient. Her nature was to know why she was being told to do something. And I remember times with her not stopping with just one why, but she had many. She persisted in asking questions until she was satisfied with the reasoning behind the request. Pastor Byron mentioned in one of his earlier messages in this series that Jesus seldom spoke plainly. He spoke in parables. Jesus' parables rarely state the reason or the lesson that we are to take from them. It is up to us to use the analogy and determine what the meaning is for us in our daily lives. However, in today's parable, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he is telling them that they should always pray and not give up because they didn't get an immediate answer. He is telling them to be persistent. So what does it mean to be persistent? The dictionary defines persistence as the quality that allows someone to continue doing something or trying to do something even though it is difficult or opposed by other people. For the most part, the Bible presents persistence as a positive character quality. Persistence is linked closely with endurance and perseverance. Jesus praised persistence in prayer with an illustration that Janet shared with us in this morning's scripture reading. The parable of the widow's persistence has three parts to it. It is introduced as a parable about prayer and not losing heart. And then it moves into a story about justice. And it ends with a question about faith. The parable in the scripture has two main characters, the widow and the judge. Luke mentions widows in his writings more than do all of the other gospel writers combined. In that day, widows usually had a very difficult time making ends meet, in spite of the care that God had instructed his people to give to them. Widows and orphans were among the most vulnerable of all of God's people. There were not many vocational opportunities for widows, and life insurance was certainly not available at that time. Both the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles instructed that these needy people be properly cared for. One of the earliest scripture references to this comes in Exodus chapter 22, which says, "Do not take advantage of a widow or an orphan. If you do, and they cry out to me, I will certainly hear their cry and will answer their prayer." We know very little about the widow or the merits of her case in this parable. Scripture doesn't tell us what her plea to the judge was all about, just that she was relentless and that she was convinced that the judge needed to take action on her request, so that when he doesn't respond to her request, she returns again and again to this judge whom she is forced to depend. The second person in the scripture is the judge. The courtroom where the judge heard cases was not like a courtroom that we might think of today, built of brick or stone with fine mahogany paneling on the inside. The courtroom in this parable was probably a tent that moved from place to place as the judge may have traveled from one location to another. The tent was probably placed near the gate where the people entered the city. The judge, not the law, set the agenda as he sat regally in his tent, surrounded by his assistants. Anybody could watch the proceedings from the outside, but only those who were approved and accepted could enter to have their cases tried. This usually meant bribing one of the assistants so that they would call the attention of the case to the judge. The widow had three obstacles to overcome. First, being a woman. She therefore had very little standing before the law. In the society of that day, women did not go to court. Second, since she was a widow, she had no husband to stand in court with her. And finally, she was poor and could not afford to bribe someone, even if she had wanted to. Scripture tells us that the judge neither feared God nor cared about men. The judge seems less interested in making and enforcing this or that social policy than in merely avoiding doing his job. He has nothing to say on the merits of the widow's claim. He simply just keeps sending her away over and over again. So now that we understand a little bit of the setting of this parable, hopefully we can better understand what Jesus was teaching. Basically, he was encouraging his disciples to pray and not lose heart. In 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul instructs us to pray without ceasing. Now, I know that we're probably thinking, how are we supposed to do that? We have so many other responsibilities and things to do. But praying without ceasing does not mean that we shouldn't do anything but pray all of the time. Praying without ceasing means that we should have a dedicated time for prayer each day. And it may also mean that we should pray about what's on our hearts and our minds spontaneously throughout the day, even if it's only for just a few minutes between whatever else it is we're doing. Prayer is not an optional activity. It is a necessity for every believer because it acknowledges our total dependence on God, and our persistence is not nagging God. Instead, it shows him our sincerity. Jesus knows that we are prone to lose heart and give up on prayer. We may lose heart and give up on prayer for a number of reasons. Sometimes we assume that we are competent, and we think that we can handle things on our own without asking for God's help. Just because he has given each of us certain strong natural abilities does not mean that he wants us going out and doing things on our own without consulting with him first. One of the main reasons we may lose heart in prayer is the delay in God's answer. Persevering in our prayers may become increasingly difficult when it seems that God is not answering us. God is a loving and caring Father to us. So if this widow could get justice from a hardened, uncaring judge, doesn't it make sense that a loving, tender, gracious, heavenly Father will hear and answer us when we pray to him? Have you ever grown tired of praying for something or someone? In Colossians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says, we should devote ourselves to prayer and be watchful. Stay alert. Listen when we pray. Our persistence is an expression of our faith that God answers our prayers. Faith should not die if the answers come slowly. For the delay may be God's way of working his will in our lives. When we feel tired of praying, we need to remember that God is present, always listening and always answering. Maybe not in ways that we had hoped for, but in ways that he knows are best for us. We must understand that the answers will come from God's timetable, not ours. And we must be ready to accept that the answer we receive may not affirm what we ask for. In this parable, the widow did not receive an answer for her request, the first, second, or even the third time. But because the widow persisted in her pleas for justice, the ungodly judge finally relented and gave her what she asked. Jesus challenges us to persist in our prayers the same way. In this scripture and in others in Hebrews and Galatians, which tell us about being persistent in our faith and persistent in our doing good, are all commended because the motivation is right. However, persistence is wrong when the motives are self-serving. We must ask ourselves if what we're praying for is for the good of the whole church, or is it something that will just benefit me personally? And therein, we might have the answer to why God has not answered our prayers as we thought he should. God will not listen to prayers that are not sincere. Romans chapter 8 tells us that persistence is a part of a godly character when the objectives are godly, and it is a part of a worldly character when the objectives are worldly. The analogy that Jesus uses in this parable is not a comparison between an unjust judge and God. It is a contrast, a complete contrast. This judge is anti-spiritual, anti-relational. He is one self-centered person with little or no morality. He is confronted with the least influential, powerless person of that day, a widow. These are two extremes. The widow's persistence wins over the heartless, self-oriented, unrighteous judge. This widow did not have the financial means or the ability to protect or defend herself. But her persistence causes this highly reluctant judge to act. God is contrasted by his use of the term chosen one, which means dear to God, and by his readiness to act on our behalf. The judge is reluctant. God is ready, willing, and just waiting to be asked. Very different from the judge. If this poor widow can get results from an unjust judge, just imagine what chosen ones can expect from a loving, caring God. Jesus might be implying that we are way underutilizing our relationship and prayer with such a good and willing God. Faithful living is a part of our persistence. While our actions are important, and obedience is certainly something that Jesus expects, our starting point for any kind of assurance or faithful living comes from within. What we believe in our heart, what we think in our mind, and what we confess with our mouth will determine our direction in life. Just like the widow, we need to be persistent in our thoughts, words, and deeds. So in this parable, in verse 1, Jesus told the disciples that they should pray and not give up. The emphasis in verses 4 and 5 is on justice. The widow seeking justice and the judge finally granting it, not because he cared about her plea, he just granted her request so that she would quit bothering him. Verses 7 and 8 tell us that God will bring about justice for his chosen ones who persist by coming to him day and night in prayer. But unlike the judge in this parable, God will not put us off if our request is godly and sincere. And the last part of verse 8 asks the question, when Jesus returns, will he find faith on earth? A sign of our faith may be our willingness to persist in prayer. As we see this widow who persists against all odds in her right for justice against the powerful judge, another sign may be what we pray for. Perhaps the most important place to start with prayer is the content of our prayers. Looking to God for wisdom so that we can fulfill his desires and respond to him in joy and gratitude. Gracious God, forgive us when we, like the judge, fail to listen to what you have said. Thank you for your faithfully inviting us to return to you when we stray. Help us to be persistent. Amen.